Amen. It's to Psalm 23 we turn. And I'm sure you've read this psalm many, many times down through the years. I'm sure it has touched your heart and blessed you on many occasions. You've probably heard it spoken of at funeral services. That seems to be the most popular place to hear Psalm 23. And yet Psalm 23 is so much more than a word for a funeral service. It's a word to encourage our hearts. I don't know how many times you've heard it preached on, and I dare to say that I'll probably not say anything different than you've heard umpteen times before. But my prayer simply tonight is that God would just restore our souls once more as we dwell on these words and as we think on them together. This is God's word. It's a psalm of David. This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. A 14-year-old, wiser than his or her years, wrote this poem back in 1991. It was published in an Operation Mobilization newsletter. And these are the words. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted. The warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life was over, but I never got what I wanted. I wonder, are you content in life, or are you always looking for more? Are you a contented sheep in God's pasture? Do you walk each day, every day, in the conscious joy of all the spiritual riches that are yours in Christ Jesus? Or could it be that you've got so caught up in the world and all of its pressures that you complain and you gripe a lot? Perhaps life is tough and difficult, busy and noisy, and you're living in fear and anxiety, constantly biting those nails, hoping the day, the week, the month, the year will improve. Well, wherever you find yourself, there are always times in life when we need rest and refreshment. Even when things are going well, it's good to stop and to pause, to rest and to be refreshed. How can we rest in a world like ours? How can we stop fretting over things happening all around us? How can we rest from the worry of how we will survive? Well, the simple answer is to look to the Lord. He is our rest and our refuge. In recent weeks and the Sunday evenings, we've considered prayers for repentance and reassurance and relief. Tonight, I want to think on that prayer for rest and refreshment that we find here in Psalm 23. David begins with those famous words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Right at the beginning, he recognizes his relationship with the Lord. And as we begin to think on this relationship, we've got a tendency to think on David as a boy, as a young man. We think of him lying on the green pastures and looking up into the skies and writing these wonderful words. And then we think to ourselves, what a great life, looking after the sheep, enjoying the great outdoors, not a care in the world. How unlike our life that is. And yet we need to consider this a little further. David didn't write this psalm as a young man on the hillside. He probably wrote this psalm later in his life, after he had faced Goliath, after he had been king of Israel, after he had failed with that sinful encounter with Bathsheba and his dreadful treatment of Uriah, her husband. In fact, there is a strong possibility that he wrote this psalm after the whole revolt of Absalom. And isn't it interesting, if you've been with us these past few weeks, that the last two psalms we looked at, that prayer for reassurance and relief, also dealt with the time during Absalom's rebellion. David has cried out for reassurance that God is still with him. He's cried out for relief from the fear and worry that he is facing. And now he asks for rest and refreshment. He wants to know the contentment of resting in the Lord's protection. He longs to know the satisfaction of being in the Lord's presence. David has faced much as king, and he's now writing this psalm, looking back and remembering how through the good times and through the bad, how God has been with him. And he uses the shepherd analogy because it's something he can relate to from his younger days. And in fact, it relates so well to God. God knows all about us. He knows our names. He cares for us. And he knows the cares and concerns that are on our hearts. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what we need and when we need it. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he watches over us. He guards us and he keeps us. And so here in Psalm 23, as David offers a prayer for rest and refreshment, we find him speaking of physical and spiritual provision that the Lord provides. We find him describing the protection of the Lord as he travels through dangerous places and is in the presence of his enemies. And we finish with an expression of faith and hope in the Lord's preservation, as he says, all the days of my life. So let's begin by thinking of the shepherd's provision. The psalmist shares with us that he has everything he needs. He says there in verse 1, I shall not be in want. Since the Lord is my shepherd, he provides for all of my needs. He knows when I am hungry and he takes me to pasture where I can be fed. He knows when I am thirsty and he leads me to the stream so that I can be watered. He knows when I am tired and need rest and takes me to safe pastures to sleep. He knows what I need and he provides it for me. This is all very much speaking of the physical necessities of life, and yet think with me and see how this translates to the spiritual necessities of life as well. David says in verse 2 that his shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. The shepherd knows that unlike goats, which will eat weeds and all kinds of other trash that's lying around of this world, that sheep need and want and prefer the tender green grasses. The shepherd leads them in the places where he knows they will be fed. He makes them lie down because he knows that they cannot properly digest their food unless they lie down. He also knows that the sheep will not lie down unless they feel perfectly safe from enemy attack. He knows, the shepherd knows, that they need to lie down because their wool grows in thickness and richness in direct proportion to the time they spend resting and ruminating on the green grasses that they ingest. And with all of this in mind, the shepherd tenderly leads his sheep to the places of greatest safety and nutrition. And what a wonderful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for his children. He knows we must feed, and so he provides the best of food for us. He knows we must rest, and he allows what we have ingested from him to digest properly. And he knows that we need to do that if we are to produce the maximum fruit for his glory. Therefore, he leads us into the green pastures of his word. He allows us to graze on the riches contained therein, and he shelters us while we rest in the riches of his grace. What a tender shepherd. He fights off the world so that we have time to rest in Him. He tenderly meets our needs. So let me ask you, do you take advantage of that privilege and provision? Is that something you're praying for right now? That the Lord would give you that word that you need for this moment to see you through? And how many times in your experience do you know what David is writing about here? How many times from your experience do you know that as you've opened up God's word, that has been a word just for you in that moment? And God has provided for you. And He's not only provided the word, but He's provided that moment to sit and to rest and be apart from the world, to take it in and to think on it and to dwell on it. Not only that, but the shepherd in verse 2 leads me beside quiet waters because he knows that sheep will not drink from a running stream. You see, sheep have a morbid fear of the water. Why? Because they're not designed for swimming. With their heavy coats of wool and their little spindly legs, sheep are extremely top heavy. In the water, their wool fills with water and they easily flip over and drown. The sheep know this, and so they shy away from running water. The shepherd knows this, and so he searches out placid pools for them to drink from. If necessary, he will dam up a place in the stream to make them a calm pool of water. And the great shepherd knows that his sheep need the cool waters of his grace to make it through this world. He knows that they need places of stillness where they can rest and where they can reflect upon him and his blessings. He cares about the things you are facing in life today, and he provides a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of safety from them for you. So let me ask you, are you going to the spring of what the water of life today to receive the water that will help you never thirst again? Are you resting beside those quiet waters? From spiritual food and drink, we move on to see the shepherd's provision of restoration, of spiritual restoration. Verse 3, he restores my soul. The Hebrew word restore means turning back or refreshing. Perhaps the sheep has strayed off the trail to nibble on some interesting looking plant, little knowing that it's poisonous. Or perhaps it's got separated from the flock and a predator is ready to pounce. Sheep also can become cast, and that means they roll onto their backs, and very rearly is a sheep able to right themselves again. And a sheep left in such a position will die unless the shepherd helps it get upright within a few hours. And as God's sheep, we can stray from the path He has called us to walk in. Some enticing diversion in the world, some desire of our old nature lures us to separate ourselves from the rest of the flock and away from the shepherd. Our enemy is waiting to pick off straying sheep. And so when we start to stray, we're in grave danger and we need restoration. And God uses, I think, in life, God uses two primary means to restore us, His word and His people. Psalm 19, verse 7 states that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That same Hebrew word is found here for the restoring of my soul. We remember from 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. And at various points in the New Testament, including Galatians 6 and 1, we find encouragement to warn a brother or sister wandering off into sin. So tonight, friend, is your soul needing restored? Then pray and ask the Lord to do that work in your life through His Word and through other people. Do you see someone else wandering away, lured by the world into practices that they shouldn't be in? Then it's our task to warn them using God's word in love and to draw them back in that they might find restoration through our Savior. And notice food, drink, restoration, but notice also the Good Shepherd provides guidance to us. He guides me, it says in verse 3, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd knows when it's safe to take his sheep around the hill or when they can go through the glen. He knows when it's safe to go over the mountaintop or right through the valley. He leads his sheep in the right path, and so too with our Lord. He knows we all need guidance to know how to live in this confusing world. God's word tells us, go this way, don't go that way. His paths are paths of righteousness. He knows where we need to be and what we need to learn so that we can live good lives and survive in this world. That's why, no surprise that I'm going to say this, that's why it's important to be in church, isn't it? For it's here that we consider God's word together and learn how to live more like Jesus. God's word is our guidebook for life. He tells us how to live properly, that we might enjoy life and life in all its fullness. God made us, and he made us in this world, and everything in this world he made. He knows how it works. He knows how it all fits together. You know, I'm puzzled by Christians at times, because when our car breaks down, we take the car to the garage to a mechanic to fix it. When the toilet breaks down, we call in the plumber to get his spanner and tools out to fix whatever the problem is. When we're unwell, unless you're a man, if you're unwell, you go to the doctor quite quickly to see what he can do to help you. So it's why is it then that when it comes to our spiritual lives and we are struggling with life in general, why is it we do not come to the Maker who made us, who knows how life ought to be lived? Why is it that when we are struggling, we don't come to the Creator and Sustainer of life? We should turn to God and allow Him to guide us through life. So let me ask you once more, are you resting in the Shepherd's provision? Or are you struggling and straying on your own somewhere? Are you praying for spiritual food and drink, restoration and guidance? The only place you will find it, my friends, is when you follow the shepherd into the green pastures and beside the quiet waters. When we get to verses 4 and 5, we see the shepherd's protection. So from provision to protection. A good shepherd is there to protect and to care for the sheep. David had done that as a young shepherd boy himself. He kept them from dangerous places and people and predators. And the Lord protects his sheep as well. He looks after us and he protects us from the dangers of the world. The psalmist recalls in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The good shepherd is by our side. So the psalmist says that we should not be worried or afraid of anything. Even if our enemies are at the table, God is beside us and will not let them devour us. The good shepherd does not provide contentment by keeping his flock from trials, but rather by providing his presence in the midst of trials. Do we understand that? The good shepherd does not provide contentment by keeping us from trials, but rather by providing his presence in the midst of trials. As we look at these verses, we see the shepherd's protection in times of fear, in times of conflict, in times of irritation. We find the psalmist recognizing the peace that the Lord gives through his presence with him and his power at work in his life. And that's why you probably, I don't know how much attention you pay to the words that I pray sometimes when I'm with you in public and when we're just together one to one. But that's why I will often pray that the Lord would give us his peace, his presence, and his power in our lives. That's what the psalmist is speaking of. Friends, we often find ourselves in fear. Things happen in life that knock us off. We worry about all kinds of things, from health to wealth to family to jobs to people. We're not promised an easy life as Christians, are we? We're just assured that God will be with us through it all. Sometimes the shepherd has to lead his sheep through some dark valleys. Tim Keller, a Presbyterian preacher in the States, has a wonderful book on Psalm 23. And in that book, he points out that the valley is usually the most gentle route to the higher summer feeding grounds for sheep. Also, valleys have the best source of water and thus provide the best feeding spots on the way to higher ground. But there are dangers involved. The valleys can be fearful places of extreme danger and darkness. And that's why the shepherd goes with them to protect and to be there. Two things give contentment to sheep when they walk through valleys of fear: the Lord's presence and also the shepherd's rod and staff. The shepherd's presence and the shepherd's rod and staff. The rod was a symbol of authority, used to ward off predators and to discipline wayward sheep. It's a comfort to know that God is in charge and to be subject to his authority in a time of fear. The staff was a symbol of concern, used to draw sheep to the shepherd to guide them on the right path. The sheep could be comforted by the rod and the staff, knowing that they would be used for their own benefit, even if it might hurt at times. Friends, our shepherd walks with us. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to be with us always. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us and to guard us. Do you know the Lord's peace? Do you know the Lord's presence in your life right now? Is that something you need to be praying for right at this moment? Notice that our shepherd protects us in times of conflict as well. The Bible is clear that the Christian life is not free from conflict. Looking back from the end, Paul calls his ministry a fight. He says that in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, if you stand for God's word of truth, you will have enemies and you will have conflict in this world. Nobody likes conflict. But the good shepherd takes care of his own by providing a table, by preparing a table for them in the presence of his enemies. I don't think we will ever fully grasp this, but there are times in life that seem almost unbearable to us as human beings. But it's in those times when the enemy comes to us and mocks us and calls us to question our determination to follow the Lord that God is with us. Through the ministry of the Lord, he is able to turn the worst of times into the greatest of blessings. And actually, if you think about these words here, he says that he prepares a table for us in the presence of his enemies. And I've read that again and again, and I've always thought to myself, why would I choose to sit at a table with my enemies? But actually, all it says is in the presence of my enemies. You know what I pictured this week? I pictured the Lord preparing a table for me where I could go and I could feast. And my enemies are all around. And they've tried to hinder me. They've tried to tear me away. They've tried to take me apart. But there they are looking on as God, my Savior, has protected me and is providing the best feast in the world for me. I am safe and secure at that table with my enemies looking on. Can you imagine what kind of picture that brings to us? What kind of encouragement that brings? God leaves us feasting on his grace while the enemy sulks, unable to hinder us, harm us, or even touch us. That is how the Lord arranges life for his glory and for our good. And the shepherd also, fear, conflict, he also protects us in times of irritation. Shepherds anointed sheep with oil to heal their wounds and to keep the flies and bugs off. Sheep cannot lie contentedly if insects are swarming around their nostrils or their ears or their open wounds. So the shepherd would pour oil on them in order to keep those flies and bugs away. And you know, it's often the little irritations that rob us of our contentment, isn't it? To cope with frustrating circumstances and, yes, even frustrating people, we need qualities like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Where do these come from? Galatians 5:22, they come from the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Our good shepherd has given us the oil of the Spirit to keep the irritations from bugging us. Contentment comes from walking with the Good Shepherd in the hard times of fear and of conflict and of irritation. Friend, do you know? Are you experiencing the Lord's peace and His presence and His power in your life at this time? Is He with you in times of fear and of conflict? And yes, even of irritation. Do you know the Lord's protection? Do you know His provision? And lastly, as we look at verse 6, just see the shepherd's preservation. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As the psalmist speaks of the shepherd's preservation, notice that it's for today and it's also for tomorrow. He speaks of the good shepherd's goodness and grace being with him, always following him all the days of his life. These are his constant companions each and every day. I used to watch One Man and a Dog on TV growing up. My grandfather was a farmer. He had sheep. He had a sheep dog that lay around the farm. Wasn't much use most of the time, but occasionally this dog was good for something. My grandfather loved to sit and watch One Man and His Dog. If you've never seen it, you've missed a treat, and you probably need to go on YouTube or something, whatever you do these days, to look back at old TV programs. One Man and His Dog. And what would happen is you'd see this shepherd with his sheep dog, often two of them. And these sheepdogs, he would whistle at them and he would shout at them and he'd whisper for them, and they would herd the sheep from the big field into a little pen where he could close the gate. And of course, One Man and His Dog, a TV program, it was a competition. It was all about who could do it best without any sheep disappearing in the quickest time and all the rest of it. But you know, when I look at this psalm and when I read these words about goodness and mercy, I picture this as the two great sheepdogs of the shepherd. These two follow God's people continually, leading, guiding, shaping, helping. The rest of the world pursues goodness and love. But listen, have you thought about this? We have God's goodness and loyal love pursuing us. Isn't that incredible? The world strives after all it can get, and we don't need to worry about striving after it because God is desperate to pour His goodness and His love on us. And that word for love or mercy is the great Hebrew word hesed, which speaks of covenant love, of steadfast love, of unfailing love. God preserves our life as He watches over us with goodness and love. The psalmist was able to rest secure in that. He was content and he was satisfied. He knew what Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." God was with him, preserving his life as he went. And David concludes this psalm with a precious reminder that this life down here will end someday, but that those who know the Lord will move to a new realm to live for eternity. Our future is secure. We will always be in God's fold in this life and in eternity. He loves and He cares so much for us. We are the most blessed sheep in the world. So why on earth would we want to stray anywhere else? Why would we? The thought and the phrase there, "dwell in the house of the Lord forever," is a picture for us of actual communion with God as a member of His household. What an incredible privilege He bestows on us to be His children, to be part of His family. Friend, do you know the Lord's preservation in your life today? Do you trust Him for all of your tomorrows? David knew the shepherd's provision. He knew his protection. He knew his preservation. He had experienced it at many points in his life. And yet still we find him here wanting to pray for rest and refreshment. He longed to experience more of the shepherd's provision in his life as he received spiritual food, drink, restoration, and guidance. He wanted to shelter in the shepherd's protection during times of fear and of conflict and of irritation, and he desired to enjoy the Lord's preservation in his life today and tomorrow and on into eternity. Listen, are you content with life as it is? Or are you constantly striving for more of what the world offers? Are you worried and anxious about today or tomorrow? Are you in the midst of conflict? Are you busy? Are you tired? Are you washed out and drained? Well, listen, it's time to follow the psalmist's example and to offer up a prayer for rest and refreshment. It's time to rest in the truths of this psalm in particular. And it's time to sing, as we will in a moment. I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Do you rest secure in Jehovah Rohi? Are you trusting in the Lord, my shepherd? Let's pray together.